dishonest reporting and unethical journalism poses a serious threat to democracy. In the case that we will be talking about today, it even helped a fascist dictatorship come to power, helped it gain legitimacy, and played a role in a conspiracy to cover up the executions of political enemies. The case I am talking about is that of Agustin Edwards Eastman, his newspaper El Mercurio, and the role they played in the overthrow of Salvador Allende's government and everything that came after. This is Ana Ninkaike. You are listening to Voice of the Water Lily. We're going to start out with a song, of course, Plegaria a un Labrador. This is Victor Jara and the original version that he did with Quilapayún. Enjoy.
Levántate y mira la montaña, de donde viene el viento, el sol y el agua. Tú que manejas el curso de los ríos, tú que sembraste el vuelo de tu alma. Levántate y mírate las manos para crecer, estréchala a tu hermano. Juntos iremos unidos en la sangre. Hoy es el tiempo que puede ser mañana. Líbranos de aquel que nos domina en la miseria. Tráenos tu reino de justicia e igualdad. Sopla como el viento la flor de la quebrada. Limpia como el fuego el cañón de mi fusil. Hágase por fin tu voluntad aquí en la tierra. Danos tu fuerza y tu valor al combatir. Sopla como el viento la flor de la quebrada. Limpia como el fuego el cañón de mi fusil. Levántate y mírate las manos para crecer, estréchala tu hermano. Juntos iremos unidos en la sangre, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén.
Agustin Edwards Eastman came from, first of all, a very, very illustrious and prestigious family in Chile. He was the owner of El Mercurio since 1956, and he became one of the richest men in Chile. He was a media baron and really like a Chilean Rupert Murdoch, if you will. The Edwards family had actually owned El Mercurio since 1827, and they had built a media empire. They were extremely wealthy and powerful. They were politically influential and definitely the most powerful family in Chilean media. They owned businesses in dozens of sectors, but especially media and banking. And Allende, of course, was bad news for them. It's also important to mention right here in the beginning that Agustin Edwards Eastman was a good friend and business partner of David Rockefeller, and they really joined forces to fight against communism, of course, in the United States, but in Latin America as well. Now, El Mercurio is especially essential to talk about. I'm going to read from page 8 of the Church Committee report, which was a committee that was put together to look into the roles that the United States played in the overthrow of many governments, of course, one of those being Salvador Allende's. It reads, quote, in addition to buying propaganda piecemeal, the station often purchased it wholesale by subsidizing Chilean media organizations friendly to the United States. Doing so was propaganda writ large. Instead of placing individual items, the CIA supported or even founded friendly media outlets which might not have existed in the absence of agency support. From 1953 through 1970 in Chile, the station subsidized wire services, magazines written for intellectual circles, and a right-wing weekly newspaper. According to the testimony of former officials, support for the newspaper was terminated because it became so inflexibly rightist as to alienate responsible conservatives. By far the largest and probably the most significant instance of support for a media organization was the money provided to El Mercurio, the major Santiago daily, under pressure during the Allende regime. That support grew out of an existing propaganda project. In 1971, the station judged that El Mercurio, the most important opposition publication, could not survive pressure from the Allende government, including intervention in the newsprint market and the withdrawal of government advertising. The 40 committee authorized $700,000 for El Mercurio on the 9th of September 1971 and added another $965,000 to that authorization on the 11th of April 1972. A CIA project renewal memorandum concluded that El Mercurio and other media outlets supported by the agency had played an important role in setting the stage for the September 11th, 1973 coup, which overthrew Allende. End quote. So we're already seeing that El Mercurio is at the center of this massive U.S. propaganda campaign. In 1970, before the election of Salvador Allende, Edwards told David Rockefeller, quote, the United States must prevent Allende's election. And then one day before Allende's election on the 3rd of September 1970, he tells U.S. Ambassador to Chile, Edward Corey, that he had, quote, plowed all his profits for years into new businesses and new industries and modernization and would be ruined if Allende won. Several days later, he asked, as Edward Corey later related, Edwards said that he wanted to ask me only one question. Will the U.S. do anything militarily, directly or indirectly, to overthrow Salvador Allende? Edward Corey at the time told him no. On the 14th of September, the plot thickens even more. This is 1970, just 10 days after Allende's election victory. And he meets with the CIA director, Richard Helms, at the time at the Madison Hotel in Washington, D.C., to discuss the overthrow of Allende and the timing of a potential coup. Keep in mind that Allende had only been elected 10 days before, and already Edwards and the CIA director were thinking of how they could get rid of him. Edwards gave in-depth information about the strength of different sectors of the military, about what weapons the military needed, because Chile did not produce many weapons and would rely on the United States for those weapons. Edwards acts on the behalf of possible coup backers in Chile about if they would receive legitimacy if they overthrew Allende and would the U.S. government recognize the new government. The next day, on the 15th of September 1970, Edwards met with Henry Kissinger and Richard Helms again to request money to help oust Allende. He asked the U.S. government to block Allende's inauguration and gave detailed information as to who in the armed forces would support a coup. He told the U.S. government that the armed forces did not like Allende, and Nixon that same day told them via the phone to save Chile via military takeover. Edwards provided information about, again, what people in the armed forces were anti-Allende. He said that President Eduardo Frei would likely back out of a coup attempt over any small problem, so he really wasn't a good option for backing a coup. That same day that Augustine Edwards was meeting with Kissinger and Helms, he also told them that a key to a coup would involve neutralizing General René Schneider. And that would later lead to... You can listen in one of the other episodes I did talking about the before and after the coup in 1973. The assassination of General René Schneider was an attempt by the United States to cause a military takeover of the country. It is still classified, however, to this day, who Edwards was referring to as the best man to help them with a coup. He remained in Washington for several more days and continued to give the U.S. government information about overthrowing Allende. On the 18th of September, Helms reported to Kissinger that further conversations and a more exhaustive debriefing are going on with Mr. Edwards right now. And then a top secret meeting between Edwards and President Nixon was arranged on September 14th. During this time, while he's in Washington, D.C., he also meets with the PepsiCo chairman, Donald Kendall, who was a huge donor and supporter to President Nixon. And Donald Kendall was also very much against Allende. So we're really seeing just the insane amount of power that Augustine Edwards Eastman was exerting, not only in Chile, but also being an important, powerful enough person to actually meet with the president, the CIA director, and the Secretary of State. We're talking about someone who was extremely, extremely powerful at the time, and he would cause a lot of havoc because of that, because of the power that he had. After attempts to stop Allende's election and inauguration, such as the assassination of General Rene Schneider, which they tried to cause a coup, and also bribing members of Congress failed, Kissinger presented a new plan. It was a 5-point plan. And point four, however, interestingly read, assisting certain periodicals and using other media outlets in Chile which can speak out against the Allende government. By the time of, however, Allende's election, and this became worse in 1971, El Mercurio was now having serious problems with its creditors and was requesting financial support from the CIA station in Santiago, Chile. So the CIA drafted a plan, and they came up with two distinct options for El Mercurio. Option A was to provide extensive financing for the newspaper with the understanding that this may not be sufficient to stop the Allende government from closing the paper anyway, e.g. through control of newspaper and labor stoppages. This would also involve an initial commitment of at least $700,000. B, however, was to allow El Mercurio to go out of business and arrange a maximum propaganda effort on the issue of freedom of the press. They decided to go with the first option, and on the 9th of September 1971, the 40 Committee and Nixon authorized $700,000 to go to El Mercurio. On the 11th of April 1972, Kissinger then authorizes another $965,000. So that's almost $2 million spent on El Mercurio to quote-unquote set the stage for a coup. William Jordan, at the time, who was a Kissinger aide, told Henry Kissinger that if El Mercurio were to go down the drain, we have an excellent freedom of the press issue to use there and in the hemisphere. So they were going to use El Mercurio as a propaganda campaign either way, either through funding them so they could write absolute propaganda, or to allow them to close and then basically say, look, Salvador Allende is limiting press freedom. So they were going to use it basically just as this massive propaganda project either way. I also find it important to note that ITT, the International Telephone and Telegram, who is, I mean, miles deep into the coup plot and the overthrow of Allende, also funded El Mercurio, and the CIA actually used ITT as a conduit for money to them through a Swiss bank account. The CIA, however, actually controlled what was said in the international news section of El Mercurio, especially pertaining to the United States. Some things that were actually published were written by the CIA station in Santiago and then published in El Mercurio. Again, page 7 of the Church Committee report says, most of those assets worked for a major Santiago daily, which was key to the CIA propaganda efforts. Those assets wrote articles or editorials favorable to U.S. interests in the world. For example, criticizing the Soviet Union in the wake of the Czechoslovakian invasion, suppressed news items harmful to the United States, for instance, about Vietnam, and authored articles critical to Chilean leftists. They also, El Mercurio, spread misinformation and lies about Salvador Allende. They defamed him as a leader, and while also trying to sow panic in the population. They would print articles saying that Allende was going to send Chileans to the Soviet Union, or that he was going to have Cuban soldiers come and attack them. And these claims, I mean, they sound absolutely outlandish and ridiculous, but they were extremely dangerous. They then, as time went on, they became, in a sense, more rabid in their reporting and promoted the idea of a military coup and actually encouraged the direct overthrow of the government. A cable from the Santiago CIA station read that El Mercurio, along with the fascist militant groups which the CIA was also backing at the time, like Patria y Libertad and Partido Nacional, is, quote unquote, trying to coordinate its efforts with members of the armed forces known to them who share this objective. So we have collusion now between this this newspaper and the armed forces. And also, the articles and the propaganda didn't just stick to politicians or just attack Allende or La Unidad Popular, but they also just attacked anyone really prominent leftist. Even Victor Jara was a victim of the right-wing slander, and they really promoted and printed repulsive lies about him as well. By May 1973, the CIA station in Santiago reported that El Mercurio was, quote-unquote, one of the most militant parts of the opposition, and that it had set as their objectives the creation of conflict and confrontation, which will lead to some sort of military intervention. It continues, each militant part in its own way is trying to coordinate its efforts with members of the armed forces known to them who share this objective. In June 1973, they were openly calling for uprising and insurrection against the government. They are becoming more and more dangerous as time goes on. And then directly after the coup, the CIA then just kind of goes on and directly admits that El Mercurio and Edwards played a significant role in setting the stage for the military coup of the 11th of September 1973, and that prior to the coup, the project's media outlets maintained a steady barrage of anti-government criticism, exploiting every possible point of friction between the government and the democratic opposition, and emphasizing the problems and conflicts which were developing between the government and the armed forces, end quote. After the coup, though, directly after the coup, almost all government media is shut down by Pinochet, except for, you guessed it, El Mercurio. El Mercurio, even after the violent military coup of the 11th of September 1973, continued to receive money from the CIA until June 1974, and they helped paint the United States and Pinochet in a positive way. A then Nixon advisor again says, and I quote, that the funding of El Mercurio was essential to maintaining the trust and continued collaboration of the assets and through them to maintain our capability for influencing the junta and molding Chilean public opinion. In secret dossiers, again, it was admitted by the CIA that the military takeover wouldn't have been possible without the lengthy and sustained propaganda campaign against the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende.
Oye brotar la primavera, que como tú soplando irán los vientos. Ahí enterrado cara al sol, la nueva tierra cubre tu semilla, la raíz profunda se hundirá y nacerá la flor del nuevo día, y nacerá la flor del nuevo día.
A tus pies heridos llegarán las manos del humilde, llegarán, sembrando, tu muerte muchas vidas traerá, y hacia donde tú ibas marcharás.
al rico muchos nombres. El que quemó tus alas al volar no apagará el fuego de los pobres. No apagará el fuego de los pobres. Aquí, hermano, aquí sobre la tierra, el alma se nos llena de banderas que avanzan. Aquí, hermano, aquí sobre la tierra, el alma se nos llena de banderas que avanzan. El miedo avanza, avanza. El miedo vencerá.
Quilapayún with Con el Alma Llena de Banderas. But now we have to get to an even worse and more sinister role, and that Augustin Edwards Eastman and El Mercurio played in the cover-up of the executions that were carried out by the dictatorship. And this was called Operation Columbo. In 1975, the DINA did an operation where they killed 119 leftists said to be members of the Movimiento de Izquierda Revolucionaria, the Miristas, who were of course opponents of the Pinochet regime. Disappeared. They disappeared over 100 dissidents, and of course after this there was an international outcry, which caused quite an uncomfortable situation for Pinochet. Peter Kornbluh says, the regime had already disappeared hundreds of Chilean leftists, and now they face this issue, how to make the disappeared reappear, and that was the crux of Operation Columbo, end quote. The way to do this, and how they decided to do this, was to frame other leftists for these murders. And who was to do this big cover-up for Pinochet but Augustin Edwards Eastman and his media empire? So dozens of bodies were then dumped in the streets of Argentina, and they were made unrecognizable in a variety of heinous ways, but they were then left with their IDs so they could be identified. And some of the bodies were found with signs on them that actually said executed by the Movimiento Izquierda Revolucionaria, the Miristas. Their deaths then were blamed on other leftists, and the idea was to really say, look at how these leftists kill each other. And then stories were run in Argentina and in Chile by the Edwards media dynasty, basically printing these lies for the Pinochet dictatorship. Lea, which was a completely fake newspaper, was actually just created specifically for this occasion. And it was made specifically to run these stories claiming that these Chilean leftists had, for some reason, fled Chile only to go to Argentina and start fighting with each other and kill each other. El Mercurio published an article saying, and I quote, the politicians and foreign newsmen who ask themselves so many times about the fate of these leftists and blame the Chilean government for these disappearances of many of them now have the explanation that they refuse to accept. Victims of their own methods, exterminated by their own comrades, every one of them demonstrates with tragic eloquence that violent people end up falling victims to the blind and implacable terror they provoke. End quote. That was an actual thing that was written in El Mercurio. Then La Segunda, another Edwards newspaper, wrote the most horrific headline, just straight out saying, Miristas exterminated like rats. Peter Kornbluh continues, so this was a whole manipulation of the truth of what had happened. But many Chileans, particularly upper-class Chileans, read this and said, we knew that all along. You know, the left kills each other. Pinochet is clean. He would never do such a thing, end quote. And Edwards's publications continued to paint Pinochet in a positive light right to the end of his rule over Chile. They were in large part responsible for keeping his image clean, legitimizing his rule, and then, of course, in the case of Operation Colombo, covering up his crimes. And sadly, as was in many cases of crimes during the dictatorship in Chile, Edwards did not face justice for any of his actions. The Academy of Journalists finally disgraced him, but this was only years later, for his lack of ethics. And it was far too late. It was mostly this symbolic condemnation that fell far too short and came far too late. But what really must be talked about is, what can this teach us today? Because the dishonesty of mainstream corporate media's coverage of the genocide in Gaza has really bordered on criminality. Not only has the mainstream media failed to report much of what is happening in Gaza, but the disparities in the coverage have been spectacular to behold. It's quite clear even from the titles of these articles. Palestinian children are found dead, while Israeli as well as Ukrainian children are killed. Blasts go off in Gaza, a more sanitized way of saying Israel bombed Gaza. One article actually read a journalist hit in head by bullet. The journalist, by the way, was targeted in an Israeli attack. And then when Israel made ridiculous claims about October the 7th, they were published as fact immediately without any fact-checking by the media. And then when these lies were eventually debunked, it didn't even make any news. They were simply quietly backtracked and the lies were kind of forgotten altogether. But these lies that were originally printed still did damage. They planted these ideas of justification in the minds of many as to why Israel had a right to defend itself. And another layer of this, when we're talking about Gaza and how this pertains to it, is Israel has killed a record number of journalists, directly targeting them. Nowhere on earth is it more dangerous to be a journalist than in Gaza. Yet the West insists on discrediting these heroic reporters and journalists, saying that the problem is that there are no foreign journalists in Gaza, instead of actually listening to the people who are reporting and have reported for the past 6 months exactly what is happening there. And then, of course, the reporting on U.S. foreign policy is no less deceptive. At this time, we're also witnessing the criminalization and imprisonment of Julian Assange, simply for his heroic journalistic work that uncovered the barbaric crimes against civilians by the U.S. military in Iraq. The collateral murder footage, which I'm sure we've all seen. And of course, I believe, and I feel it's very important to talk about this, I believe it is in the interest of all journalists and anyone who just cares about honest reporting and press freedom and journalistic integrity to demand that Julian Assange be released and him to not be criminalized for simply being a journalist. But this deceptive reporting that I have outlined here is dangerous. And we cannot underestimate how much of a direct threat to democracy that it can be. Seeking out good quality independent journalism is essential, as is directly listening to people on the ground in different places around the world. And the lesson here is that good journalism exists. We just have to seek it out, because most of the time, you're definitely not going to find it on CNN or BBC or the New York Times. We have to remember this history. We have to talk about how media manipulation actually played a massive role in the overthrow of a democratically elected government. And just remember this so we do not repeat it. This has been Voice of the Water Lily. I'm Ananin Kaike. Keep dancing. Keep honoring your ancestors. Never stop affirming for the right to live in peace for all oppressed people, especially the Palestinian people. Con mucho, mucho cariño. Chao, mi gente. Here's Encuentro con la Vida y Yapu, beautiful song in honor of Salvador Allende.
¿Qué puede hacer un hombre que está solo? Solo como el mundo me refiero. Si no vivir este combate por la vida, con tanta soledad que crece, aumenta. Su mirada. corazón que cae para siempre y es aquel que disparando para siempre amó la patria y es aquel que en esta muerte abrió las anchas alamedas para siempre. Eso llega y que otro hombre necesita en esta lucha. Y es aquel su corazón que cae para siempre.